Denver Nuggets get the dub last night, 112-108 over the Miami Heat. And get this, Angle, Angel. The Miami Heat were the number one team as far as points allowed in the paint coming into that game last night. They were the best team in the NBA, maybe still are, but no team in the NBA has allowed fewer points in the paint per game this season than the Miami Heat. Enter the three-time, soon-to-be MVP. 27 points for the Joker last night. 12 of 14 shooting, and those are the things that you really got to pay attention to when you're looking at the MVP situation, is, dude, most of these guys are throwing up tons of shots. I don't care if it's Joel Embiid or not, they're throwing up tons of shots. And Joker, 12 of 14 shooting last night to get him 27 points. What do you have, 12 rebounds, 8 assists, another Sombor double. Pretty much, right? It's close. It wasn't 9. But close enough. We're going to call it that. So you got Joker rocking and rolling. This, again, keep in mind, it's an okay Miami Heat team. On the road, without Jamal Murray, without Aaron Gordon, injury list continues to, or injuries continue to kind of bother the Nuggets, but not really. Was Tanner saying this? And I didn't know this. Congrats to Tanner for having a Nugget stat that I don't have. This is the fastest they've ever gotten to 40 wins?
First time they've had 40 wins before the All-Star break.
Wow. Them and the Boston Celtics are the only two teams to hit the 40 mark right now. Tremendous. You know what that, but again, it's the home record too. The fact that this team is so good at home reminds me of that George Karl team the year before he was fired when he was named Coach of the Year. They couldn't lose at home. And that is a big deal when you look at how you're able to win games. Are you protecting your home court? And that certainly, now again, this, I know this was on the road, but they're a 500 team on the road. They're 26-4 at home. That's the recipe right there. 500 basketball on the road, domination at home. And that was the Denver Nuggets last night. You got to see Thomas Bryant. So I thought maybe they might try a variation of this, and I was talking about it on my Pickaxe to Grind podcast that's on at 1310kfk.com, all things Nuggets, do that once a week. I wondered if maybe they would start Thomas Bryant in this game just because Aaron Gordon's out. That might be too clunky, though. That might be too, you know, too reminiscent of Nikola Jokic and Jusuf Nurkic days. So maybe they don't go that route. But Thomas Bryant, he played 14 minutes last night, 4 of 5. Again, an efficient game from him. 10 points and 2 boards. Those numbers are already one night in. You're looking for that over what you're getting with DeAndre Jordan and Chanchar playing as a backup center or Zeke or any of that. I mean, this is, you already upgraded right there.
Yeah, and I think Bryant is, it's going to take him a little bit of time to get used to it. You still saw in the game last night, he's looking over at Malone, trying to, you know, just figure out what he's doing. He's constantly talking with his teammates after a play, like, oh, okay, I need to make sure I cut here, make sure the pass gets here at the right time. So I think probably after the All-Star break, we'll get a better feel for what this team is ultimately going to look like, especially with that bench unit. If you can get Bruce Brown, Reggie Jackson, and Thomas Bryant all on the same page with that unit, feel really good about that.
Yeah, because you're still seeing Ish Smith as the point guard, as the backup point guard. So again, I think you and I both agree on that. That's not going to be that's not a solution.
That's worst case scenario.
Yeah, that's not a good thing. Jeff Green was solid off the bench. Don't forget, Miami was 32-25 coming into this game. Only lost 9 games at home. I think they were on a pretty good winning streak too.
Mike McDaniel was in the house too.
See? You just had to throw it in.
Well, Angel. I saw it. I thought it was.
You just had to throw it in. You had to get your Dolphins.
Well, you know, your professional team's got to support each other. When Russ goes to Nuggets games or when Sean Payton eventually goes to a Nuggets game, it's going to be a big deal.
It will be a big deal. When Russ went, I was at that
Nuggets game.
Remember
when Hackett was there too?
Yeah, I don't even remember that.
He was having fun at the court side.
Oh, everybody loved Hackett. I was at that game when Russell Wilson was there. that was the game that Joker did his, what did he do, 2,000, 1,500 or whatever it was?
5-2-1.
Yeah, whatever it was. I have a picture of it, but it's way back in the documents here. But Russ was there. Sierra was there. It was a big deal. You're right. You just had to get your Miami Dolphins.
Well, he's from Greeley, shout out.
He's from Greeley.
You got to follow these connections.
His 2,000, 1,500. 2,000 points, 1,000 rebounds, 500 assists. First player in NBA history to do that. And he did that against the Grizzlies and in front of Russell Wilson and Sierra, courtside. Do you think that had anything to do with it? Probably not.
No.
Don't even think Joker knows who Sierra is.
Probably might know Sierra.
Probably knows who Russell Wilson is now. But, yeah. What a game, though. They got one more game. So, yeah, wait. The Miami Heat, they were on a three-game winning streak, so they were rolling. They were getting some momentum. And doing that on the road was a fairly big deal for Denver. So, Joker was just astonishing. How are we feeling on it? Okay, we've got one more game before the All-Star break. Is it looking like he's going to win the MVP this year? You think he's going to get it again?
I think it was the closest this race has been was a couple of weeks ago when it was Jokic and Embiid.
After the Embiid game.
Since then, Embiid got a lot of hype right after that game. I haven't seen much of it since. And I think Jokic is kind of walking away.
He's still the favorite.
Don't say running. He's walking away.
Well, he doesn't run a lot anyway, so he's kind of doing a little.
He's jogging.
You've seen Lord of the Rings? You remember how the Ents run?
Oh, okay, yeah.
That's how Joker runs. That's a good comparison.
He's like Treebeard.
He's an Ent.
Nice.
Not Ent Credit Union, but Ent from the Lord of the Rings. Yes. See, you have to do your Dolphins reference, and I have to drop in a Lord of the Rings reference. At least one. Everybody gets one. Joker's the favorite right now, according to NBA.com. Behind him is Giannis. So Joel Embiid's dropped down to fourth. He's fourth behind Jason Tatum. And the Celtics, they have also that resume to back it up. They're also a 40-win team. God, I'm just dreaming of it, Angel. I'm dreaming of it. Boston, Denver, NBA Finals. I'm just like...
That'd be so much fun.
I'm just dreaming of it. It would be so amazing because the Nuggets not only would be on the biggest stage of them all, but they'd be going up against one of the maybe the most historic franchises in all of sports with a really good team. It would be a battle. But you got to get guys healthy. You can't survive without Jamal and Aaron Gordon for much longer. You got to get these guys back. They might not go Wednesday.
I think Aaron might go. I think Jamal will be resting through the break.
Might as well rest Jamal Murray through the break. Yeah. Because you got one more game before the All-Star break. What do you think? I'm just thinking about this, the All-Star break. With Bones Highland going to be in the forefront, with media surrounding him, that's going to be a little bit of a circus, isn't it? Because that's a story now, not just with us. That's a story nationally.
Don't put your foot in your mouth, Bones.
He already did.
Because one of your two games after the break is in Denver.
Well, and now he's trying to say that you guys are making too big of a deal on it. I guarantee you, Angel, if a reporter walks up to you and says, hey, what's it like to work with Brady and Tanner? And you say, and obviously you would say this, Brady's amazing. He's number one in everything he's ever done. So he's great. And then you just ended it there. Don't you think that Tanner would be upset with that? What, dude, he asked you about me too. Why didn't you say anything about me? Tanner would text you instantly. Angel, what's going on, man? It's a slight. It was a putting your foot in the mouth kind of moment for Bones Highland, and him saying that you guys are making too big of a deal out of this.
Well, that's just the media. The media is going to take anything you say and, you know, make a narrative about it. And the narrative is that him and Jamal had a lot of beef, and Bones shared a video of him and Jamal being kind of buddy buddy with each other. And it's
now he's trying to recover.
Yeah, I
mean, listen, well, is Bones wrong in saying that Jamal, like, if you want to ask me honestly, the Nuggets do only have one superstar on their team. Bones actually isn't wrong, but the fact that he was asked about Jamal specifically, a little shady.
No, there probably was tension there between them. It probably started around when Jamal was being staggered with the bench unit. So, again, I go back to Bones had every opportunity to take that, you know, be the guy, be the sixth man. and he didn't do it.
He didn't do it. He didn't take advantage of it. He's young, and I get it. It could have been.
It
a
may
really,
also be. Yeah. I don't want to put out the perception that I'm a bad teammate, or if I don't have my way, I'm going to start, you know, tension in the locker room.
But that's what happened. I'm sure he'll be easy to work with the rest of the year, no matter what happens.
Did you see the video of him trying to fist bump Kawhi?
No.
He was like, hey, I'm Bones. It's nice to meet you. I'm ready to play with you. Kawhi just stood there. Like, no emotion whatsoever.
Dude,
and
Kawhi,
I know that's just Kawhi
that's
Leonard,
Kawhi,
but
man.
I thought that was funny.
These superstars, man, I don't know if they know how to be teammates anymore. Like, Kyrie Irving, his first game with the Mavericks, they do their little pre-shoot-around thing where they all line up at half court and shoot it, take turns shooting it. And they cheer on everybody, and it's great. Kyrie's not only not participating, he is literally just standing there with his arms. They couldn't be more down to his sides. Just standing there kind of like the kid that didn't get picked in middle school. He's just standing there looking around, and he's not smiling, he's not cheering. And people are retweeting it like crazy, and they're like, dude, you can't just stand there. You got to do something, man. At least smile once. Boy, that's not going to – that was a rental if I've ever seen one.
Yes.
Kyrie will not be a Dallas Maverick next year. He's a free agent after this season. And you were saying there's rumors that he wanted to go to Phoenix and be back with KD.
Yeah, Phoenix was trying to put a deal together to get both of them.
That would have cost him Booker, right?
Booker, Paul,
oof.
Ayton maybe.
Oof.
It'd have been a lot.
Man. Well, you know –
I don't even think that's a good combination anyway.
It's not going to work. That's just – there's too much
Kyrie
star power.
Kyrie cannot play with another superstar.
Well, you have too many same... Joker can play with a really great point guard. That's why I kind of like the idea of him and Damian Lillard. And maybe even another guy, like another great wing. But the combos don't work. When you have ball-dominant KD, ball-dominant Chris Paul, which who is a passer, by the way. He can share the ball. Ball-dominant Booker and ball-dominant Irving. That's not going to work. That's why I'm very curious to see how it works with Luka and Kyrie. Kyrie's first two games with Dallas, Luka was out. I think they won. And then Luka gets back in, and they're 0-2.
Oh, but Brady, they scored almost 70 points together.
Can't play defense. Luka can't play defense anyway. That was a nice win. MPJ, just kind of steady. Just kind of a quiet, steady string of games for him lately. 17 points for him. 6 of 15 and then 5 of 13 from the three-point line. 6 boards. He's just been a steady player. So that's been impressive. Christian Brown, dude, his ability to wiggle in the paint and get offensive rebounds, or at least threaten to get offensive rebounds, I love to see that.
High motor.
Oh, high. He's constantly going after offensive board. You know Michael Malone, every time he sees that, he just gets giddy. That's what head coaches want. I got a guard that's going in amongst the trees, fighting for an offensive rebound. Get out of here. I love watching Christian Brown. He is fun to watch. Bruce Brown was solid. 16 points for him. Chanchar's been, did you see his block late in that game?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. And he didn't foul. It was so great because he gets the block, but he makes sure he falls off to the side of the player. Heck of a play there.
He's an interesting guy.
Oh, he really is.
Like, I don't know what position he actually plays.
Don't really know. Can't really define him.
He'll shoot a three, or he'll go in for a dunk, or he'll do a block, or just something crazy. And you're just like, all right, Chanchar.
Did you notice on that block, his hands are like Kawhi Leonard's hands.
Yes.
They are monsters. That was a fun game. A game maybe you're not anticipating the Nuggets to win without Jamal and AG and Thomas Bryant's first game as a Nugget. You're not expecting a lot from him. Pre-All-Star. You're not going to expect a lot from Thomas Bryant until we're like 5 or 6 games on the other side of the All-Star break.
They go party in Miami yesterday?
I don't know. Joker was all casual yesterday.
He was dressed up in his party fit.
But his wife was there and his baby was at they were at the game. So I don't know
maybe
if
they went to Disney World.
Maybe they joined up with Patrick Mahomes. Maybe they did. That was fun, man. Thomas Bryant, cool. Welcome him aboard. Should be good. And then you see Reggie Jackson in this mix.
That's going to be fun.
It's good. The bench is going to be good. You're going to have threats on the bench. That's what you need. You need guys that can come in. Reggie Jackson, Christian Brown, Thomas Bryant, Jeff Green, and Bruce Brown. That's your bench.
Solid.
That's going to be good.
And then if you stagger Bruce with anybody else.
Yeah, man.
You could go big with Aaron Gordon in that lineup.
I feel better about our championship odds than I ever did. I feel better about them.
I mean, outside of free agency, what else has the West really done?
Memphis
disappeared.
Memphis didn't do much, right, at the trade deadline. You saw Phoenix do their move, but is Kevin Durant ever going to play? And then
he
Dallas.
Looks good in practice.
Dallas is questionable. I think we're all wondering how that's going to work out. And then the Lakers. The Lakers are 4-6 in their last 10. They're 26-32. Do you think the Lakers are even going to get into a play-in game? I don't think so, man. Let's get to the good, the bad, the ugly from the night that was. The good, the bad, the ugly presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more, go to fmsbank.com/KFKA. The good for me, and I'm just going to take it out of here. I mean, he's already a candidate for player of the week. Nikola Jokic was phenomenal last night. Almost another triple-double for the Joker, but we'll settle for 12 rebounds, 8 assists, and 27 points.
You need teammates for assists. So.
Got to score when he's passing it to you. You got to do that. And you can't take too many steps when he passes it to you, because then it dissolves the assist, guys. It dissolves it. Give him the Russell Westbrook treatment. Start giving him the easy boards. Are they undefeated when he has triple-doubles? I thought that was Michael Malone said something like that.
16-0 with triple-doubles.
They're really good when he has triple-doubles. And he's over 20 now, which is a significant thing. Only a few players have had 20 triple-doubles. The bad for me, did you see Melvin Gordon's? It doesn't bother me that much, but the tweets around it bother me. Melvin Gordon's holding the Super Bowl trophy, and RG3, who I do really love, but lately I find myself disagreeing with him on Twitter. He's like, how it started, and showed a picture of Melvin staring down Russell Wilson on the sideline from that game a few weeks into the season. How it ended. I'm like, dude, it started better than it ended. You were a starting running back in the NFL. Now you're a practice squad player that didn't play any snaps with the Chiefs, and you're holding a Super Bowl trophy. What's better, to be a starting running back in the NFL and not make the playoffs, or to be a practice squad running back and win the Super Bowl?
It's tough because you don't want to take away from like someone's lifelong dream to win a Super Bowl, even though you didn't really do anything to contribute
really
to it.
Really not anything.
I mean, other than, hey, I got the guys ready in practice. See our defense?
Yeah.
That was me.
That was me.
Couldn't tackle me.
I showed them how to force fumbles.
There you go.
Actually, I didn't, because it was so easy to force fumbles that
he was
easy.
Boosting
in the game.
Their confidence. Do you think the fumbles?
Chances are that he dropped the trophy.
He probably got to hold it for that picture, and then that was it.
Then he dropped it.
Yeah.
Like, because that's what he does.
Someone tapped him. Good job, Melvin, and you just dropped it.
Whoa! The ugly, and I'm not saying this is ugly necessarily. I'm just saying maybe the media hype circus train that could surround Denver even more could be scary. Rex Ryan, potentially going to be the next defensive coordinator for the Denver Broncos. Man, you got all these. And then Gronk's not coming back, right? He loves what he's doing now. He looks like he's having fun. Sean, that was all screwing around, right? About the Broncos and all that. That's not a real thing. He's not coming back, is he? Although I would take Gronk over any of the tight ends the Broncos have right now. Dulcich I'm excited about, kind of. But I don't know how that's going to work out. Could be a circus, man. Would they be on Hard Knocks?
I don't think they're eligible since they have a first-time head coach.
Oh, but since it's Sean Payton, can they change that? Does it have to be the coach has to be there?
Just hired a coach.
You can't be on Hard Knocks?
Right, because they want to give them their time to establish themselves.
Yeah, if there's anybody that can handle all that stuff, it's probably Sean Payton. I'm not saying I want it. Because what if it's a fiasco again? And then the world sees that. Ugh, there it is. The good, the bad, the ugly. First Advantage text lines open. 888-530-0043. It is Top Text Tuesday. I got a $15 gift certificate to Cables up for grabs. Bring your best stuff to the show. And we might read it on the air. There's a lot of stuff that kind of slips through the cracks that we don't get to. But if you're bringing it, we'll read it. 25 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. When we come back, let's talk about our poll question of the day. Now that the NFL season is over, what which sport is getting most of your attention? Go vote at thewholeshow.com. We'll discuss that next. It's The Whole Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The UNC Bears playing Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Everybody, this is Dalton Reiser with the Denver Broncos, left guard number 66. You're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Game beer of the week from On the Rocks Liquor. This one's from Four Noses Brewing in Denver. It's called Bout Damn Time IPA. Pick up selections from Four Noses or any of your favorite adult beverages at On the Rocks Liquor. They got their drive-through. They're open 9 a.m. until 10 p.m. And then make sure, you know, throughout the weekend, you're always paying attention to On the Rocks Liquor. They've got a wine tasting coming up this Saturday, 4 to 7, with some good friends of mine, the folks from Rule 105 Brew Pub. So check that out. They have an M2K2 at Rule 105. It is one of my favorite beers. It is outstanding. Of course, Doc, one of the co-hosts of Brew Talk, which airs tonight at 5 o'clock. So a lot of cool connections there for us. Thanks to On the Rocks Liquor for supporting these local breweries, statewide breweries, but also national stuff, too. They're bringing in different items for us to check out. On the Rocks Liquor off Highway 34 and 47th Avenue here in Greeley. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Let's get your texts in. It's Top Text Tuesday today, 888-530-0043. And I know I got a break here pretty soon because we got Zach coming up next. Is Tanner getting the bus repaired so he can take the pitchers and catchers down to spring training? Oh, I can't imagine Tanner and Angle are going to fire up the Rockies bus again after Dick Monfort said, hey, yeah, I don't know, 500 probably. I mean, the year before he said 90. So when his expectations are lower, that really scares me. 33 minutes after the hour, let's jump out real quick. I got Zach Stevens coming up for Broncos Talk. He's just getting back from Super Bowl week. He was down there in Arizona, so we'll talk to Zach about all that and the Broncos coming up next. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Everybody, this is Dalton Reiser with the Denver Broncos, left guard number 66. You're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the show. We're live from the Aloe Fiber Studios. Our First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Joining us now, our Broncos insider from DNVR Broncos, Zach Stevens. Zach, my man, crazy week for you last week. Getting a chance to go down to Arizona and be on Radio Row there and going up against some of the big names all over the NFL world last week.
Yeah, it was a great time being down at Radio Row. A lot of Broncos there, most notably Sean Payton was down there, kind of having his final week of being in the media. And, of course, now he has shifted his sights. He's done with Fox, and he is focused on the Denver Broncos.
His focus is now on all things Denver Broncos. Okay, Zach, so where's that focus start? Obviously, you got to get your coordinators. Hearing a couple of different names, but the big name coming out, Rex Ryan as the defensive coordinator. I mean, how realistic is that?
Yeah, I mean, you look at the direction that Sean Payton's kind of been eyeing over the past few weeks, and it is big name coordinators because, of course, right when they hired Sean Payton, there was rumors that he was in talks with Vic Fangio about coming over. That one didn't work out. Then Brian Flores, they were supposed to interview with, and one day before their interview, he decides to go to the Minnesota Vikings, and now it came out that they've interviewed Rex Ryan as defensive coordinator, and so just all very eye-catching big names, and that is probably something that he's looking for on the defensive side of the ball. He's looking for a big personality to come in and lead the defensive side of the ball so he can really focus all of his energy on the offensive side of the ball. He will hire an offensive coordinator, but it doesn't really matter who it is, Brady, because he is going to be the offensive play caller. He is essentially going to be the offensive coordinator. But on the defensive side, Sean would love to just say, hey, I'm giving the job to this person, and they're just going to run the defense, and I'm not going to have to worry about him that much. And Rex Ryan would be such an interesting one. Talk about just building a staff of TV analysts if he does that. Of course, Sean did that last year, and Rex has been doing it since 2016. And Rex is a very polarizing figure. Some people would love the hire from what I've seen. Some people would hate the hire. And it would be an interesting one, and you can really make the case or for or against Rex Ryan just looking at his resume. He struggled on the defensive side of the ball for really his past 5 or 6 years as a head coach when he was leading the Bills and the Jets. But then you look at when he was just the defensive coordinator of the Baltimore Ravens nearly 2 decades ago, he was outstanding. But then the downside of that is that was nearly 2 decades ago.
Yeah, that's the interesting side of it, too. How would that work out, being out of it for so long? Let me ask you this one, Zach. How much, and I don't have like anything up in front of me about Rex Ryan's past defenses, but is that something Sean Payton's looking at, saying, okay, Giro Evero, his first year was good. That defense really played well. Do you want to get a coordinator that can kind of put a defense together similar to what we saw last season? Or if you get a Rex Ryan, are you going to say, I trust you, go with whatever? How similar do you think he'll want to keep things to how they were last year?
Yeah, I think Sean Payton's willing to look at anything. And so that does mean potentially changing the defense. Obviously, the Broncos for many, many years have run a 3-4. I think he would be open to bringing a coordinator in that would run a 4-3. And you can make an argument that maybe some of the Broncos pieces actually fit better in a 4-3. So I don't think that Sean is coming in here and saying, I just want to keep things the way they are. I think he's willing to bring not just a different scheme in, but a very different personality and voice in the building. And you know what? I couldn't argue with that if he's trying to bring in a big personality. Coach E was fantastic. He was obviously not willing or not someone to come in and shake things up with his voice. Players really respected him and really liked him. I wouldn't be surprised if Sean kind of goes in opposite direction, brings in a loud personality, someone that is willing to rub players maybe the wrong way at times to try to get more out of them.
Zach, is it too much? Is it too much star power if you potentially bring in Rex Ryan? I mean, Russell Wilson, for better or worse, is still a star. His name is, everybody knows it. If you're a football fan or not, you know the name Russell Wilson. Is it too much?
Yeah, it could be. It very well could be. And I made sure to say big name defensive coordinators, not necessarily like great defensive coordinator, because that's what Rex is. He's a big name that you're bringing in, and like I said, you can look at him and look at his resume and make the case that he is a good defensive mind. You can also flip it around and make the case that he's struggled in the past decade or 15 years leading a defense. So there's certainly something to that. And on top of that, Brady, you mentioned Rex Ryan and Russell Wilson in the same sentence. Rex Ryan has been very critical, and deservedly so, of Russell Wilson on national TV over this past year. But you know what? I don't think Sean Payton views that as a bad thing. Sean Payton, since he took this job and was introduced to the media 8 days ago, he's been given so many opportunities to speak very highly on Russell Wilson, and he's pretty much squashed all those opportunities. He's obviously said the right things, you know, we believe in Russ, all of those things, but he has had the opportunity to gush about Russell Wilson, and he just simply has not. And that would not have been a surprising thing if he did that. Nathaniel Hackett did it all of last season, and in one way there's nothing wrong to that, but Sean Payton is not doing that. So I don't think that Rex Ryan speaking poorly of Russ over this past year would turn Sean away from Rex.
Zach, talk to us a little bit about the offensive line coach. Sean Payton was able to get one of those positions filled up. And I know, obviously, that is a key ingredient for any kind of success the Broncos want to gain next year, is they got to fix up that offensive line.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Zach Strief. And I got to say, Brady, the way that Sean Payton views him from people that I've talked to and also the way that Sean has publicly talked about him over this past week, I think this is Sean Payton's home run hire. And it's flying under the radar because, one, it's an offensive line coach. The Broncos don't have any coordinators yet. And, two, he's just been an assistant offensive line coach in the NFL so far. But I truly think that Sean Payton views this as a home run hire. Zach Strief was drafted by Sean Payton and the Saints, Sean Payton's first year as the head coach, and he came with glowing reviews from his college coach. He was actually, the Saints had him as an undrafted free agent. Then after talking to his college coach, who Sean said rarely gave any compliments, they moved him up to be a seventh rounder, picked him, and he was a starter for over a decade for the Saints. Sean Payton loved him as a player. And then just a couple of years after retirement, he brought him on his staff to be an assistant offensive line coach. And Sean has nothing but fantastic things to say about him. So really, I don't think it's a coincidence that he hired him before any coordinators, which is a little different. Obviously, most of the time, you'll hire a coordinator, and then the coordinator will have some input on who the offensive line coach is. But no, this is Sean's big hire, and it's a guy that we need to keep our eye on.
Zach Stevens joining us from DNVR Broncos. Obviously, the coordinators, that's number one. Number one is defensive coordinator. As you said, the offensive coordinator is somewhat important, but it's going to be Sean Payton. Next is the players, right? I mean, that's what we're looking at as far as what the roster is going to look like. The current roster, the current free agents, the current unrestricted free agents, guys that they could go out and get. You and I have talked about it a lot, but you know, when you look at some of those guys, the Dalton Reisners and Kareem Jacksons and some of those linebackers too with Alex Singleton, a big name in Draymond Jones, what are the big names that you look at and say, yeah, they'll probably be back next year?
Well, it's the big boys. It's on the offensive line, Brady. I think that's where the Broncos are really going to focus their attention this offseason. And when you look at it, it may be more so bringing new people in to the mix on the offensive line. And if you look at what Sean Payton did when he got to New Orleans, he focused on building up the offensive line for Drew Brees, and that's exactly what he's going to do here. When he has talked about Russell Wilson, he's kind of quickly transitioned to one of the things we need to do to help Russ is run the ball, is protect him. And so I think that is where it's going to start with Russ. We're going to see Sean Payton do exactly what Pete Carroll did with Russ in Seattle that Russ didn't like, but it was very successful with. It's going to be based off running the ball and protecting Russ, and I really think that that's where this offseason and the money and the focus is going to be for the Broncos is all across the offensive line. And then, so Brady, for guys that are currently on this team, it's probably not the best news for Draymond Jones, who he's probably hoping to get a contract right around $20 million a year. That's way too rich in my mind. I think he was on track for that the first half of last year, then the second half of last year after they traded Bradley Chubb. He only had one sack in the second half of the season. So I think his number is probably closer to 10, and I just think he's going to get more on the open market. So I think I think Draymond Jones is going to be gone, and I think we're going to see resources shift from the defensive side of the ball to the offensive side.
How about that? Well, speaking of offense, Sean Payton sitting pretty close to Josh Jacobs last week too, talking a little bit about how he might look in blue and orange. Okay, first off, my question is that, does that constitute as any kind of tampering for him saying we might take a look at him before the free agency period has began?
You know, I don't think so. I don't think that's going to be considered tampering, especially just in kind of the tongue-in-cheek way that he said it. Now, if the Broncos do go sign him, I'm sure the Raiders will be filing a complaint with the NFL saying, whoa, look, there was tampering before, but I don't think the Broncos will be punished for that. And then when it comes to Josh Jacobs, I mean, look at Josh Jacobs, what he did last year. He was playing with a chip on his shoulder after the Raiders declined his fifth-year option. They let him go, or they gave him the option to leave by doing that, and then he went out and balled. Now, Brady, I don't think this is the path that the Broncos are going to take, but with Sean Payton's comments about how they're going to focus on running the ball, I can't completely rule it out. However, if they do sign Josh Jacobs, man, I feel so bad for Javonte Williams, not because he's taking his job, but because that would likely mean just the diagnosis on his knee is really, really tough. But that's the reality that the Broncos need to deal with and can't forget this offseason. Javonte didn't just tear his ACL. He tore all three ligaments in his knee. And if you look, ACLs are very easy to come back from in this day of age. But it's not the case when you tear all three. So the Broncos do seriously need to be looking at ways to replace Javonte, not just for this year, but for the time moving forward, for the long-term future as well. So they believe in Josh Jacobs. That could be a guy. I just don't think they need to spend upwards of $15 million on a running back.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting to see what really happens there with Josh Jacobs, the offensive line situation. I know that's the big one there. Should be interesting. Zach, before we let you go, who was your favorite guest that you got to talk to there while you were on Radio Row last week?
Oh boy, the best one was Pat Surtain. I just love talking to Pat. He is such a calm guy where you typically don't get any incredible quotes out of him for the podium because he's been in Nick Saban's Alabama program. He's grew up around his dad who was in the NFL. He's extremely well-polished. But when you kind of peel the layers back of Pat, he is such a cool guy, such a nice guy, has so much insight on the game. So I would say sticking with the local guy and going with Pat.
Yeah, I love it, man. Well, great job by you and the whole gang there, of course. We love keeping a connection with you, my friend. And we'll look to catch up with you soon. We may be waiting on a Rex Ryan decision. We might have some big news here in the next couple of days.
Yes, we very well may, Brady. I mean, at some point, he's got to build a staff, right?
I would imagine so, and there's no more Super Bowl week to talk about. I guess he could talk about XFL if he wanted to, but I would imagine he's going back to the grindstone and getting after it. We'll see. Zach, my man, appreciate you as always, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Brady, love being on. Thank you.
All right, man. There you go. He says that's the focus. Do you see, like, I'm looking at some of these names on the defensive side of the ball for Denver. Kareem Jackson's getting up there, so okay. You know, you look at Alex Singleton and Jonas Griffith and Draymond Jones. Defensive names coming in, you know, that were supposed to help this team, that did help this team in certain stints of the season. Do the Broncos just flat out say, you know what, we're not going to mess with it this year. We're not going to mess with the defensive guys. We're going to shift our focus all the way over. Because, you know, you really liked what you had in Alex Singleton paired up with Josie Jewell, and Jonas Griffith was supposed to be pretty good, but he kept getting hurt. But I would like to see them hang on to Singleton, and maybe they can get him for a cheaper price than what Draymond Jones is looking at. All right, quick break coming up. Our poll question of the day, available at thewholeshow.com. Now that the NFL season is over with, sadness, which sport is getting most of your attention? I put up the main ones, but of course, as these poll questions typically go, you guys disagree with whatever I put up there. I put the NBA, I put the NHL, I put Major League Baseball, I put college basketball, and I put other. And everybody's like, oh, other sports besides that.
This means you're not an NFL fan anymore.
That probably means I'm not an NFL fan anymore. Yes, that's exactly right. Go vote at thewholeshow.com. Let's see where you guys are sitting. We'll talk about it next.
Sean Payton, Russell Wilson. Will it work out? Here are our thoughts on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
All right, what's getting your attention now? And don't answer with, wow, for NFL free agency and the draft's coming up. Okay, what are you watching, the games that you're watching? Now that the NFL season is over, which sport will get most of your attention? That is our whole show poll question of the day, available at thewholeshow.com. Angel, the NHL's winning right now. You got Colorado listeners listening to the show, obviously, and the Avs are Stanley Cup champs and looking to go back, get into the playoffs, if they can survive all the injuries. Second place is other. That's
I guess
how the
golf
whole,
is nice.
I'm getting people say golf. I had somebody say NASCAR.
Yeah, left turns.
Left turns, man. Left turns.
Oh, here they come again.
Ah!
There they
pit.
Go again.
They're going to go get a pit stop.
God, it's 95 degrees out here.
Car
loud.
Worked on. Let's watch them change their tires. Here they go. Here, oh, their tires got changed. Now they'll take another left turn.
Hope they don't run out of gas.
Major League, you know, Lightning McQueen, that didn't seem to bother him, bro. He didn't need a pit crew. Well, he did at the end.
He popped two tires in the first part.
Yeah, but he was the rookie of the year without a pit crew. Think about that. Maybe NASCAR's not a bad idea. Go vote at thehullshow.com. We'll be right back.